To ask who won the debate is almost meaningless because the president made sure there actually was no presidential debate.
Potential presidents at the podium. It's Thursday, October 1st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us as well on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube online. Also ahead, political maneuvering, Taiwan's virus robot, Australian extinction comes back to life, Asian flights to nowhere, some comic relief. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden sparred over policy and traded insults in their first debate Tuesday night, just 5 weeks before the presidential election. Mike O'Sullivan reports on the combative confrontation.
A genial start to the debate, which quickly became a heated exchange over topics including COVID-19, which has claimed 1 million lives globally and more than 200,000 in the United States.
The president has no plan. He hasn't laid out anything. He knew all the way back in February how serious this crisis was.
Trump said he has led an effective response.
We got the gowns, we got the masks, we made the ventilators. You wouldn't have made ventilators, and now we're weeks away from a vaccine.
Biden blasted Trump's efforts to end the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare, which provides health care insurance to some 20 million people. Trump said the law is unconstitutional and limits consumer choice. Biden says voters can keep their private health plans under his proposed expansion of Obamacare.
They can. They do. They will. Under my
The exchange quickly degenerated as each man talked over the other.
Your party, Obamacare, is no good. We made it better.
Trump accusing Biden of pursuing socialized medicine. Another point of contention, Trump's choice to fill a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, left vacant by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a liberal icon. Trump nominated conservative Judge Amy Coney Barrett, launching a confirmation process when voting has already begun in many states. Biden says whoever wins in November should fill Ginsburg's seat.
The American people have a right to have a say in who the Supreme Court nominee is.
Trump responded that it's his duty to name a replacement regardless of the timing.
We won the election, and therefore we have the right to choose her.
A Trump campaign official says he's pleased with the debate.
I think what viewers saw was President Trump, who was in command of every moment of the debate. And I think they saw a weak Joe Biden, who was put on his heels most of the time, spent a lot of time looking around for assistance from the moderator.
Analysts slammed the free-for-all.
No, Mr. President.
When Biden spoke, so many times he would get 10, 20, 30 seconds into a coherent point, and then he'd be interrupted over and over and over again by the president. So to ask who won the debate is almost meaningless because the president made sure there actually was no presidential debate as we have come to know them.
With round one finished, two more debates are scheduled for October. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
There is much more on this story as it continues to develop and as it plays out until the November 3rd U.S. presidential election. Follow all the latest news on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and stop by the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Malaysia's long-thwarted Anwar makes another bid for premier. India may have 10 times more COVID-19 cases than official figures. Indian court acquits top Hindu nationalist leaders for role in 1992 demolition of mosque. Pakistan unveils new friendly visa policy for Afghanistan. No signs North Korea moving toward denuclearization. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our voanews.com website. The VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. With about a month to go before the U.S. presidential election, battle lines are being drawn over President Donald Trump's nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden called on Republican senators not to confirm her before the November 3rd election and allow voters to have a say, a view key Republican leaders dismiss. Michelle Quinn reports.
This week, Judge Amy Coney Barrett will meet with U.S. Senate leaders in advance of her confirmation hearings to be the next Supreme Court justice, a lifetime appointment. Majority Republicans appear to have the votes to confirm Barrett, and President Donald Trump says it's important to have a full bench of nine justices in case they are called on to decide the outcome if the November 3rd presidential election is in dispute.
I think it's better if you go before the election, because I think this scam that the Democrats are pulling, it's a scam. This scam will be before the United States Supreme Court, and I think having a 4-4 situation is not a good situation.
Trump has warned, with little evidence, of widespread voter fraud involving mail-in ballots. And if Republicans challenge the election in court, the case could go to the nation's top court, where Judge Barrett's vote could prevent a tie. In a recent New York Times Siena College poll, 56% of Americans said the next president should choose the nominee. Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee, called on Republicans to let the voters pick the president before confirming the next justice.
Just because you have the power to do something doesn't absolve you of your responsibility to do right by the American people.
While some Democratic senators say they won't meet with Judge Barrett this week, others, like Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, say they will question her conservative credentials and her opinions about health care and abortion rights.
We can slow it down, perhaps a matter of hours, maybe days at the most, but we can't stop the outcome. What we should do is to address this now respectfully.
Durbin said Barrett should recuse herself now from any decisions the court may face regarding the 2020 election. But Mike Lee, a Republican senator from Utah, disagrees.
Whether she recuses in this or any other case is up to her, and is up to her in consultation with her colleagues, her staff, and the rules at play.
With a seat now open on the nation's top court, an already contentious presidential race has become even more high stakes. Michelle Quinn, VOA News. This week, Judge Amy Coney Barrett will meet with U.S. Senate leaders in advance of her confirmation hearings to be the next Supreme Court justice, a lifetime appointment. Majority Republicans appear to have the votes to confirm Barrett, and President Donald Trump says it's important to have a full bench of nine justices in case they are called on to decide the outcome if the November 3rd presidential election is in dispute.
I think it's better if you go before the election, because I think this scam that the Democrats are pulling, it's a scam. This scam will be before the United States Supreme Court, and I think having a 4-4 situation is not a good situation.
Trump has warned, with little evidence, of widespread voter fraud involving mail-in ballots. And if Republicans challenge the election in court, the case could go to the nation's top court, where Judge Barrett's vote could prevent a tie. In a recent New York Times Siena College poll, 56% of Americans said the next president should choose the nominee. Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee, called on Republicans to let the voters pick the president before confirming the next justice.
Just because you have the power to do something doesn't absolve you of your responsibility to do right by the American people.
While some Democratic senators say they won't meet with Judge Barrett this week, others, like Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, say they will question her conservative credentials and her opinions about health care and abortion rights.
We can slow it down, perhaps a matter of hours, maybe days at the most, but we can't stop the outcome. What we should do is to address this now respectfully.
Durbin said Barrett should recuse herself now from any decisions the court may face regarding the 2020 election. But Mike Lee, a Republican senator from Utah, disagrees.
Whether she recuses in this or any other case is up to her and is up to her in consultation with her colleagues, her staff, and the rules at play.
With a seat now open on the nation's top court, an already contentious presidential race has become even more high stakes. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, prominent Hong Kong activist Joshua Wong was bailed out of jail on being accused of unauthorized assembly and breaching the anti-mask law, which was enforced last October. You can see more on this story at VOA 60. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's so nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thanks for stopping by. The world recently reached a tragic milestone of 1 million known deaths linked to COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. Experts say more testing is key to combating the virus's spread. A biotech company in Taiwan has developed a robot capable of conducting thousands of COVID tests each day, and that makes it possible to safely revive the economy. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
Health experts agree that robust and rapid testing for COVID-19 is at the core of controlling the spread of the coronavirus that has ravaged the world. Now, Taiwanese biotech firm TCI says it has a solution for safety and consistency. Chief Supervisor Arvin Chen.
We designed the robotic arm action by mimic the human action to prevent the cross-contamination. And we also have to perform the centrifugation in this station to make sure that there is no reagent residue on the well wall to make sure that the reaction performs perfectly.
The machine, made up of three robotic arms, is called the QVS-96. Designers say it mimics how humans do their jobs. Chen says the robot can quickly and consistently perform the work of well-trained technicians.
QVS-96S can produce around 2,000 results per day. With 100 QVS-96S deployed in JFK airports or Singapore airports, these airports can fully resume their flight and let the passenger travel safely and bring back country economy.
Dr. Li Shiming at the Cheng Shan Hospital in Taipei City welcomes the new technology that comes in time for flu season.
The machine is very accurate. It will effectively determine whether a specimen is only flu or COVID-19. This is very efficient in epidemic prevention. You will not mistakenly quarantine a flu patient, and you will not overreact by mistake.
Government agencies, Taiwan Centers for Disease Control, and three hospitals in North and Central Taiwan already use TCI's QVS-96 robot. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, China is the worst country in the world for attacking religious freedoms. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in a speech that followed recent criticism of closer ties between the Vatican and Beijing. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. More than a century since they were declared extinct in the Australian state of New South Wales, the bilby, a vulnerable marsupial with rabbit-like ears, has been reintroduced into a large, predator-free area in a remote desert park 1,200 kilometers northwest of Sydney. The release is part of a new breeding program at Tooronga Western Plains Zoo in New South Wales state. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The release of 10 bilbies is a bold attempt to turn back the clock to a time in Australia when native animals weren't savaged by feral cats and foxes. Since European colonisation, the bilby population has fallen by 80%. Rabbits and other invasive species also compete with the marsupials for food and shelter. They face other threats from land clearing and bushfires. Bilbies survive in the wild only in parts of central and western Australia. A small group bred in captivity is being closely monitored in a large predator-free enclosure at the Sturt National Park in northwest New South Wales. The Wild Deserts Project, which is running the introduction effort, is a collaboration between the University of New South Wales, Australia's Taronga Conservation Society, and the New South Wales State Government. It aims to bring back 7 mammals, including marsupials, the burrowing bettong, and the golden bandicoot, that have been declared extinct in the state of New South Wales, using large fenced enclosures in the Sturt National Park. Beck West, an ecologist with the project, hopes they can ultimately be taught to avoid feral pests.
We have a large 10,000 hectare area just next to our predator and rabbit free paddocks, but it allows us to manipulate predator densities, and it will provide an area where we can release bilbies and allow them the opportunity to learn what these predators are. If they were exposed to cats in low densities, they actually learn over time, improve their predator recognition behaviour, and it also then improved their survival when released into other areas with cats.
It's estimated that feral cats kill 1.4 billion native animals every year in Australia, which has one of the world's worst mammal extinction rates. There is hope the tide can be turned, with help from projects like those that are reintroducing a pioneering group of bilbies, with their distinctive long black and white tails and large rabbit-like ears, back into the desert. The bilby is a nocturnal marsupial and digs complex burrows to provide shelter from high summer temperatures and protection from predators. It's estimated there are about 9,000 bilbies left in the wild in Australia. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, with international travel almost non-existent because of the coronavirus pandemic, the global tourism industry is finding new ways to make money. In Asia, one way companies are trying to stay profitable is through so-called flights to nowhere, as VOA's Bill Gallo explains from Seoul.
It's no secret most of the world's airports have sat empty for months. But some airlines in Asia are trying to change that by offering flights that end up right where they began. It's the flight to nowhere. While it may sound like a gimmick, customers are actually buying tickets. This month, a Taiwanese airline took passengers to South Korea's Jeju Island, circled a few times, and flew right back to Taiwan. In the air, they had a Korean language and culture lesson. This passenger, 35-year-old Liu Chun-hee, says she couldn't go abroad, so her friend recommended this flight. As soon as she heard about it, she wanted to experience the flight to nowhere. The flights are not cheap. Australia's Qantas airline charged almost $800 for an economy seat on a flight that offered views of attractions such as the Great Barrier Reef. The flight sold out in 10 minutes. In Japan, the flights don't even leave the ground. An entertainment company offers flights in a fake airport cabin. Passengers get meals and tour famous sites through virtual reality headsets. Hirari Ito is a virtual flight attendant. She's never been a flight attendant in real life, and she says it was hard to learn how to become one now.
We've been, like, changing and trying to improve every day, so I hope it will last for a long time in the long run.
The trend is a sign people are eager to be done with quarantine and other restrictions, says digital marketing analyst Ming-Ming Chen.
The problem is, if you want to travel to other countries, you have to go through all the safety procedures. You have to have your COVID-19 tested, and you need to go through quarantines. And it's really not convenient for a lot of people.
But while the flights to nowhere may provide a boost for travel companies, they don't help the broader tourist industry. Here in Seoul, many shopping districts that rely on foreigners are mostly empty, waiting for the flood of tourist dollars that may not come anytime soon. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
From dark, crowded venues to social distanced backyards, stand-up comedians are adapting to life in the United States with the world's highest death toll from COVID-19. VOA's Veronica Balderas-Iglesias found comics in the Washington, D.C. area who, despite their own struggles, are still succeeding to make people laugh.
Stand-up comedy pre-pandemic used to look like this.
Got the basement, moved upstairs now, got my own room.
People packed in close together, without face masks on, laughing, spraying, you know, all of their germs out everywhere. And that's just not conducive in this sort of environment.
So they now perform outside in parking lots and backyards.
Started COVID by myself in the house alone, boring.
And the effort to make a safe comeback for laughter under COVID-19 has been a bumpy ride.
Crickets is out, bugs, I'm swatting mosquitoes on the stage sometimes, ambulance, helicopters. It's a lot of outside factors, outside hecklers that you can't really do anything about.
The required face coverings in the audience to lessen the risk of infection is another challenge.
You can't see them smile and stuff, so you really have to make sure your jokes are hitting. You don't know if they like you yet until you have a punchline that works.
Good, we're working from home. Anybody else? A lot of people. I'm not a fan. I barely worked from work. You know what I mean? Like, so now pants are optional.
Since COVID-19's onset, it's taken months for these young comedians who normally earn from $20 to $200 a show to get back on stage.
Well, my nephew's out of school. He's not going to school because of COVID. Do you guys remember what happened the last time we had a tragedy? Do you guys remember the DC sniper? Do you remember what they told us to do? Lock the door? No, they told us to run in zigzags.
As independent contractors, they work with organizations such as Crybaby DC and Capital Laughs, which used to organize 40 shows a week in bars and restaurants. That's now down to 4 a month outdoors.
I think I saw a poll where it was like 30% of businesses who closed during COVID don't think that they're going to even reopen. And that's really scary because, you know, those businesses help produce comedy shows, help artists in a lot of other ways.
The DC Comedy Loft, for instance, has canceled about 150 shows and projects $2 million in lost revenue. When the loft reopens, it will be at only 35% capacity for social distancing. But beyond the financial toll, these comedians worry about losing their creative spark.
You're used to being creative and exercising that muscle and also existing in a creative environment with a lot of other people that's very social. It's kind of like, oh, like where does all my inspiration go?
Like the fun part about being a comedian is if you come up with an idea that day, you can go try it that night. And now a lot of the times you're having to sit on a joke for 5 or 6 days before you actually finally get to test it out again.
Aware that the business will be struggling for a while, fans are willing to undergo temperature checks and follow safety rules, at least in part, to support the comics.
It's never an easy career, and so especially right now, it's really important to still, you know, do what we can. And then we also get a benefit out of it by getting to get out of the house, which is nice.
We can't stop living, but we just got to take the necessary precautions. Laughter takes away a lot of stress from the day. That's the key to life, laughter.
I'm trying to lose weight. Anyone else here? Liars. Anyone else?
Veronica Valderas-Iglesias for VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
That's our program for today. We thank you so much for listening to VOA Asia. Continue online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all under the name VOA Asia. We also like to take a moment and thank those who help bring this program to you. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Wayne. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.